You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Today, we're starting a brand new series, basically coming after or very much in connection to our previous series called On a Journey. On that previous series, we talked about what it means to go on that discipleship journey. That it means following Jesus, fishing for people, and fellowshipping with fellow believers. Now, one essential element there in discipleship is that our discipleship journey pretty much starts with us receiving and hearing the gospel. Someone went up to you and preached the gospel to you, and because of that, your journey in discipleship started. So basically, if we want to be effective in our making disciples, if we want to be effective in fishing for people, then we need to make sure we have a good grasp of what the gospel is. And that is why our new series, starting today, is called The Gospel Explained. That the goal basically of this series is for us to have a clearer or better understanding of what the gospel is and how it makes an impact in our lives. Now, even right now, 2020, this gospel, this good news, news na meaning past event na siya ngayon tabo, still has an effect in our lives today. Over the next few weeks, we're going to look at the book of Romans. And when I say series of weeks, I mean 23 weeks. This will be spread throughout the year, basically, this gospel explained. And the reason for the length is basically for us to have a comprehensive understanding of the gospel. As we talk about the gospel, as we have this book study, basically, about the book of Romans for the next few weeks, even if you are new in the faith, this is for you. No one graduates from learning and being refreshed and reminded of the gospel. It's something that we need to continually learn and relearn. This is essential for us. Now, a quick question for us as we go about this is, why do we have to go through the book of Romans when we talk about the gospel? We want to know about the gospel. Why the book of Romans specifically? Now, much like many of Paul's letters, and that's the guy who wrote this epistle, when he would write to a specific church, audience, or person, it's usually to address a certain need or issue or problem. And Paul naman has his own reasons as well. But specifically, for our purpose, we need to go through the book of Romans for us to know more about the gospel, because when Paul was writing to the church in Rome, he was addressing to their problem, which was about theology. The church in Rome, they had these issues. There are these problems like away-away sila. Whether unsa ba ang gospel, asa tama na effect sa gospel, do they still need to follow the Jewish laws and practices? So Paul here was pretty much concerned with the integrity of the gospel. What is the gospel and how does it make an impact in your life? That's why we need to read this. John says that Romans is a kind of Christian manifesto. It is the fullest, plainest, and grandest statement of the gospel in the New Testament. That's why we need to read this. And you can read on ahead as well. If you want to read through the whole book of Romans this week, by all means, do so and study it yourself. Now, for our first week, we'll talk about unashamed, meaning unashamed of the gospel. When we talk about preaching the gospel, like last week, we talk about fishing for people or fellowshipping with believers. Perhaps your reaction, every time you hear someone say, preach the gospel or tell it to another person, perhaps your default reaction is, ashamed ka sa gospel. Parang, adis ako nang mag-preach the gospel. I don't want to do that. I just want to go to the church, be part of a victory group. I don't think it's for me, kaya mag-preach ko gospel. But I hope and I pray as we finish this installment, we will be empowered or will be encouraged all the more to be unashamed in preaching the gospel. And for that, let's look at Romans chapter 1, verses 1 to 17. This will be our main verse for today. It says here in verse 1, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son who was descended from David according to the flesh and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ, to all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 8, first I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you, always in my prayers, asking that somehow, by God's will, I may now at last succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I do not want you to become unaware, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented in order that I may reap some harvest among you as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. Verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Now, we just read through 17 verses, and I know it's a pretty lengthy verse. I'm not going to look at every or each verse very specifically. We'll go through those 17 verses in three segments, namely Paul, Rome, and gospel. And so, let's talk about Paul muna, the Apostle Paul. In Romans 1, verse 1, it says there, Paul, a servant of Christ, Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. Now, unlike his previous letters to the different churches, this time Paul is writing to a church nga dili siya ang ga-found or ga-start. These people have not yet met Paul. So this is basically him writing first or a letter of introduction, and he's saying his credentials on who he is so that they may receive him kindly and they would welcome him when he would visit Rome. And very interesting ang gibuhat ni Paul when he introduces himself. Kasi si Paul, ang background niya, he was formerly a Pharisee. He was a student of a great teacher. I mean, this guy was brilliant as a person. He had a good education. But interestingly, he describes himself or he introduces himself with these two words. Firstly, as a servant of Christ. The word servant comes from this Greek word, doulos, which roughly translates as slave. So if you were to read the first verse, Romans 1 verse 1, it would mean that I am Paul, a servant or a slave of Christ. When we hear those words, servant or slave, automatically parang negative ang perception nato, di ba? Parang a servant or a slave in particular, is parang someone in chains, someone tortured or something like that. But in the Old Testament, when you talk about this word, this concept of a doulos or a servant or a slave, there's actually an honorable succession of men, started with Moses and his brother Aaron, who called themselves Yahweh's servants or Yahweh's slaves. Basically, they were men who gave their lives to honor and to serve God. Meaning, it was not a position to be ashamed of. But still, this term, yes, it denotes humility. It's one of service. And one description of doulos is someone was purchased, bought by someone. But in Paul's case, he says that he is a servant of Christ, meaning ang Lord and Master niya si Jesus. That for him, his whole life involves serving Jesus. Na parang to the point niya, parang siyang servant or slave. And it's not something that he's ashamed of. And the first thing that he describes himself is that, I am this servant of Jesus. And not just that, he says he is an apostle as well. An apostle is this specific term Jesus used to define or to call his core disciples. Sina Peter, si James, si John, those people. And Paul says he's just like those people. He's an apostle. Here's an interesting thing. You can't just be an apostle. I want to be an apostle. No, there's a certain qualification. One, you have to be personally commissioned by Jesus. And secondly, you have seen the risen Christ. After Jesus resurrected, you have to have seen him. And there are all these apostles, what they were tasked to not only preach the gospel, but to start churches, look after their welfare, to look after church matters, to provide leadership for the church. That was what these people were doing. And Paul equates himself of equal authority to the likes of Peter, James, John, and all the other apostles. And very interesting on contrast of words. He says, I am a servant of Christ, but also an apostle as well. And he says he is set apart for the gospel of God. The reason why he's so passionate in doing ministry, in planting churches, and preaching the gospel, that he has been set apart, parang gilahi siya specifically for this purpose, for the gospel of God. Now, I want to emphasize on those last three words, the gospel of God. When we talk about the gospel here today, I want us to understand, church, that we're talking about something that comes from God. The gospel is not something man-made. It is not something that the Bible writers just came up with. No, it is something that comes from God. Also, when we talk about the gospel, this good news, it's not your testimony. Your testimony is different. Your testimony is your life touched and transformed by the gospel. But when we talk about preaching the gospel, we talk about this good news that comes from God. Just to clarify lang, part of the places that Paul longed to visit to bring this gospel to was Rome. This is our second segment, basically, of verses. Rome. Important question. Why did Paul want to go to Rome? I mentioned earlier on that, you know, there is this many issues in the Church of Rome between the Jewish believers and the Gentile believers, whether they would still follow the Jewish law, they would need to do so. Okay, free na sila ato. Asa ba tama ng effects sa gospel? And that was one reason why Paul wrote to them, but Paul himself didn't just want to write to address the issue. He wanted to go there, visit there himself. And there are many reasons why he wanted to. Firstly, because of the church itself. In Romans 1 verse 8, Paul says, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. Meaning this church is a pretty good church. Parang it's a testimony that its faith is being proclaimed. Something that's worth talking about. Grabe yung faith ano yung church niya in verse 8. In fact, in verse 9, Paul says na, as God is my witness, he claims that he continually prays and intercedes for this church. And in verse 10, he says na, that by God's will, that he may know at last na he would be able to visit them. He wants to visit there. He wants to personally go there to encourage them and he himself be encouraged by their faith through fellowship. So Paul really wanted to go there and visit the church. But not just that. There's also a strategic element why Paul wanted to go to Rome. Paul, for the longest time, wanted to go to Spain. But as a stopover, he wanted to go to Rome as well. You see, Rome is situated between Jerusalem and Spain. It's a good base to establish future missionary work. And Paul, he did ministry in Judea, in Greece, in all those other places. But he wants to go to Rome. And eventually, he wants to go to Spain. And Rome is a very strategic place, an important place to do ministry, to preach the gospel. Because at this time, the biggest nation was the Roman Empire. It was the center of civilization, specifically in Rome. If you want to reach the world, if you want to preach the gospel to the other nations of the world, then you need to reach out Rome. It's just a strategic place that you can't miss out if you want to be effective in preaching the gospel. Rome at this time was the center of politics, government, art. It's the center of everything on culture. Imagine the most amazing place right now. I can't think of a place like the US, Japan, Europe, or some prominent place that if you go there, you know there's some amazing people, amazing culture, that if you bring the gospel there, it will just spread. That was Rome basically. Grabe siya na place. In fact, one key factor why the church was able to spread during the time of Paul, during the time of the Romans, they had what they called Pax Romana or Roman peace, meaning you could travel anywhere in the Roman Empire and be safe ka sa pag-travel. Or at least malang better ang safety nimo compared to if you would travel outside the Roman Empire. Meaning missionaries, church workers could travel more freely compared to before. And not just that, the Romans built extensive road systems so you could travel from place to place and be more effective in bringing the gospel. Take note, at this time, ha, wala pa yung promo fare, wala pa yung buses, wala pa yung airplanes. Kung magbiyahe sila, mga kabayo, donkeys, boats, it would take them weeks, if not months, to travel if they wanted to do missions, if they wanted to bring the gospel to somewhere. So meaning, very importante ang Roman Empire in the spreading of the gospel. Now, because of this grandeur of the Roman Empire, if you were Paul, perhaps, you know, you would be intimidated or afraid to go to preach the gospel. Because Paul was basically a nobody for Rome. Yes, he's a Pharisee. Maybe to the Jewish people, he is a somebody. But to this Roman Empire, Paul is just a regular Roman citizen. He's just a regular guy. And he's going to this Rome, the capital, where prominent people are there, affluent people are there, influential people are there. And here is Paul, this seemingly ordinary guy, and he's about to preach the gospel. And he actually has a lot of reasons for him to be ashamed or afraid or hindered to preach the gospel. Firstly, there are some verses and historians who say that Paul actually was not a good speaker. If you're thinking na, mayroon na si Paul mag-preach the gospel, eloquent man siya, may siya mo-speak. Ako, di man ako mag-English, magdugo ang ilong na ako. Mas-stress ko ng preach the gospel. Well, guess what? You're not alone if you feel that way. Paul, he was not a good speaker. For example, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 9, for some say his letters, referring to Paul's letters, are weighty and forceful, but in person, he's unimpressive and his speaking amounts to nothing. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 6, Paul himself admits, I may indeed be untrained as a speaker, but I do have knowledge. He's brilliant, he's smart, he's able to write well, but his speaking, not so much. Not just that. There are some historians who say that through oral history and other historical records that Paul himself was not good looking. I know it's a funny bit of info. Diba? If you feel like insecure ka sa itsura nimo, sa skills nimo, na-encounter na tayo ni Paul. Skills niya bagsak, looks niya bagsak pa. There's one description that says na he was bald. There was something with his eyebrows. Isod na kayang eyebrows yata niya or bagak kayang kilay, I don't know. He was small in stature. He was bow-legged or something. He had a big nose. Dili ka siya nakakatsada daw nga impressive nga person. And not just that, he didn't come from an affluent or rich or influential family. In fact, that was one reason why the church in Corinth, they were sort of ashamed kang Paul. That's why he wrote the letter to the Corinthians, because there were these super apostles who claimed to be super apostles and they look amazing, eloquent, they look impressive, and Paul was this unimpressive guy. He didn't come from a rich family. And to top it off, Paul, his former life was a persecutor of the church. This guy, the Apostle Paul, before he became very zealous with preaching the gospel, he was a persecutor of the church. He sentenced people to their death, to imprisonment. He approved of the stoning of Stephen. That was his former life. Meaning he had all these reasons to be hindered, to be ashamed in preaching the gospel. Poor in skill, perhaps you can relate to that, Tom. Di ko kabalong speak. Perhaps he would have been insecure about his looks. Perhaps for some of you, you've had that insecurity. No, parang, di ko anay mo dula ni a person, sa dakayang sanina, ako, anay lang sanina na ako. Whatever kind of insecurity. And not just that, yung ang background niya, ang past niya. Perhaps for many of you here today, you feel like I did something before in my past. I am not worthy to preach the gospel. I cannot do so. I did this, Tom. I failed God in this area of my life. How can I possibly preach the gospel? Paul had all those reasons and probably valid reasons to tell God, Lord, you can't use me. I can't be in Rome. Look at my life. My life is not worthy enough to preach the gospel. And yet, nevertheless, God commissioned him to do so. And in verse 15 of Romans 1, very interesting ang response to Paul. He says, I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. Paul says he is eager. Paul didn't write, I am reluctant, or parang, sige na lang, I will preach the gospel when I'm there if time allows it. No, I am eager. I want to preach the gospel when I'm there in Rome. I want to do it. I have to do it. He is eager. Now the question here is, why is he eager to preach the gospel? Why was Paul eager and unashamed? Despite these reasons, despite these limitations, nga naman ganado nga ganado si Paul mo preach the gospel. We're going to look at the first segment of our verses, which is the gospel. What is with this gospel that Paul was just so unashamed and unapologetic in preaching it? He wants to travel to different places to bring this gospel, especially to those places who have never heard of the gospel. So what's the big deal? Firstly, Romans 1 verse 14. Paul says, I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. The word their obligation roughly means in the Greek word ophiletes, which means one who owes another or a debtor. Meaning, it's someone who owes someone something else. Now, there's two ways that someone could be in debt. And the most basic is, you ask money from someone and until you pay him back, you are in debt of that person. Now, Paul has never been to Rome yet at this time. So meaning, wala siya gikuha nga funds or wala siya nag-ask for financial support. But no, he hasn't owned anything to the church in Rome. So meaning there's a second reason why he says he's under obligation or he's under debt, basically, to do this thing, to preach the gospel. Okay, and that is, the other way that you can be in debt to another person is if someone gives you money or gives you a certain amount, and it's not for you, but it's for another person that you have to give to. Now that is, in a sense, the same way kam Paul. Something was entrusted or given to Paul that he was in debt to the Greeks, to the barbarians, and to the other people that he need to give them to. He was entrusted with the gospel. When he was called and commissioned to be an apostle, he was set apart for the gospel. He was called to preach the gospel. So meaning, the reason why he was eager to preach the gospel, because in verse 14, it says here, I am under obligation. I am under this debt. I have been entrusted with the gospel and have to give it both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. That's why he was so eager. He has been given something. Dili lang taman sa iya. It's not just for him. No, he knows it is for these different kinds of people. The Greeks, meaning those who are part of the Roman Empire, basically, to the barbarians. Barbarian is basically someone who's not part of the Roman Empire. It's like a term to describe someone who is uncivilized or someone that's not part of the empire. To the wise and to the foolish, basically different kinds of people. He's basically saying, I am obliged, I am under debt to preach this gospel to all kinds of people. And that is why he's eager to go to Rome and preach it. In his mind, this is something for the people in Rome, that I have to preach this gospel. We shouldn't be ashamed of the gospel because it is a debt to the world. It is something that has to be given to the world. For many of us, if you're a Christian, you're a believer, you've heard, received the gospel, but guess what? It doesn't stop with you. It's not supposed to stop with you. It's not just for you. What you have received has been entrusted for you and you are to pass it on as well. You are to preach it as well. Maybe for your co-workers, your classmates, your neighbors, your family members, even some random person you don't know. That gospel is for those other people as well. You want to be eager in preaching the gospel? Know this, you've been given something that's not just for you. We enjoy all of these things, but there are other people who have not heard of it. There are other people who need to hear it, and it is to be preached to them as well. So may we be eager to do so. The other thing, in Romans 1 verse 16, Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Paul says it is the power of God. You know that the Greek word for power here comes from the word dunamis, which is where we get our word dynamite. So just to be visual, when we talk about the gospel, oftentimes kasi when we say preach the gospel, ang mindset nato is I'm saying some kind of speech or spiel na gitulos akong Victory Group leader or sa akong discipler. I'm saying something to convince someone to follow Jesus or something. Oftentimes we forget that the gospel is not just some message or some speech lang. Just to be refreshed and reminded what we mean by say power of God. Remember, the word power there comes from the Greek word dunamis, which again, ditagikan sa word nga dynamite. Think about that. That's explosive power. Now oftentimes when we approach people, ang thinking nato is, ay, di ko ani niya mo preach the gospel. Di ko mo one-to-one ani niya. Margisud man siya. Magbulyagon man niya siya. Di ko ani niya. Ani ko ani kay buta niya. Murag ba siya problema sa life niya. Oftentimes we would go to the seemingly, you know, easy kind of people. When we approach people and we somehow on the surface, we see there's a problem, there's an issue, there's a struggle. Oftentimes, maglisod na parang, ah, Lord, saan ako pag-preach the gospel? He or she has all of these things that's happening in her life. What can we do? Well, guess what? When you preach the gospel, it's the power of God. You see their pride, adultery, bitterness, unforgiveness, gossip, rage, jealousy, laziness, all these things. When you preach the gospel, it's like you're throwing dynamite. You're unleashing the power of God. It's not just some kinds of words. And when you unleash the power of God, it's like you're throwing dynamite into his life. I'm not saying I'm like physically maigo siya, but I'm saying it will transform his life. Kaya nga, this gospel will do something in that person's life. It may not happen right away. It may not be instant. It may take a few times to preach the gospel. But notice, whenever you preach the gospel to someone, there is an effect. It's not just something that happens in the mental, emotional, psychological. No, there's something spiritual that happens when you preach the gospel. You're unleashing the power of God to do something, to miracles or wonders in the life of a person. Dili na pop-up lang, dili piccolo lang, or even quitism gilalabay. No, dynamite. You know how destructive dynamite is. One stick could kill you. And dynamite, mabubuton. And that is the power of God. This power of God can radically transform a person's life. And not just transform him. It says here, it is the power of God for salvation. Now, why salvation? Usa man ning gospel. We've talked about it. That Paul's unashamed about it. What is the gospel nga ba? I have here a quick summary of what the gospel is. Now, throughout the rest of the weeks, we'll get to know more about this. But as an introduction, let me just show this summary. The gospel is the good news that God became man in Jesus Christ. He lived the life we should have lived, died the death we should have died in our place. 3 days later, he rose from the dead, proving he is the Son of God and offering the gift of salvation and forgiveness of sins to anyone who repents and believes in him. The reason why the gospel is so powerful that it transforms a person is that it is God's power for salvation, because it is this good news that tells people that someone has done something to grant you your salvation. It is this good news that God, the God who created the universe, came into this world as Jesus in human flesh. That is why big deal ang Christmas. We celebrate the coming of our Savior, the promised Messiah. It's not just a chance to have a reunion or have parties or receive gifts. No, we're celebrating the coming of Jesus. And he lived the perfect life we should have lived. Because of our flaws and our sins, we cannot live up to God's standards perfectly. So someone did it for us, and that is Jesus. He lived the life we should have lived and died the death we should have died in our place. And the reason for that is because in Romans 6:23, it says there that the wages of sin is death. That for every time we sin, what we should receive is death. When I say death, I'm talking about the full, holy, just wrath of God. Punishment for our sins. And yet Jesus took it in our place. He died in our place. But because he did not sin himself, 3 days later he rose from the dead. He resurrected, proving that he is who he claims to be. That he is indeed the Son of God. He is indeed the Messiah. He is indeed God himself. Because of what he did, by grace through faith, when we believe in Christ, we will receive the free gift of salvation. Meaning you don't need to pile a set of good deeds to earn salvation, to earn your way to heaven. You don't need to live your life thinking, Lord, I need to do good deeds. Church ako karon because nakagibot sa'yo kanina. Lord, read ko Bible karon para ma-impass, ma-balance akong mga sala kanina. No. That's a works mentality mindset. The gospel completely destroys that and tells us that God already did the dirty work. God already did all the work that we need to have salvation. Wala tayo gibuhat. All the glory, the commendation, all the credit belongs to God. He did something for us. And that is why this is good news. That no matter your background, your status, no matter the sin that you've committed in the past, you may feel that there's no hope for you. But guess what? Christ died on the cross for your sins, so that you may receive forgiveness and salvation. That's the gospel right there. That's the good news right there, which transforms basically our lives. It transforms us. Going back to Romans 1 verse 10, not just that. But this power of God for salvation, if good news pala na siya, guess what? There's even more good news pa. Because this power of God for salvation, says here, is for everyone who believes. To the Jew first and to the Greek. It is for everyone who believes. God could have chosen this gospel para ni sa mga Jewish people, para ni a small group of people. No. He made the gospel be available, or it's something for everyone. As it says in the verse, whether you're a Jew, Greek, barbarian or not, wise or foolish, this is for you. To anyone who believes in His name, the gospel is for him. Can you imagine that? The gospel is for the nations. That's why if you've been with us for the longest time, if nakabantay mo, ano man ay mga missions update, we talked about preaching the gospel to different nations. We talk about sending people to those nations to do ministry. That's because the nations need to hear of the gospel. It's for them as well. It's not just for us. When you go back to verse 16, Jews and Greeks, they say, get differentiated, Paul. Again, whether sophisticated or not, whatever kind of background, the gospel is for everyone. We don't need to be ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for salvation. We're talking about not being ashamed about someone, and we're talking about the power of God. Imagine this with me. In the news right now, I believe all of you know the coronavirus is spreading throughout the world. It's in different countries, even in our own. But think about this. If you were to discover the cure for the coronavirus, if you were to discover the vaccine for that, would you be ashamed to tell people? If you found that cure and you know that this virus is devastating, so many lives, so many nations, so many places, and you have the answer for that, would you just keep it for yourself? Parang, ay, di ko maulaw ko ani. Or because you know of the power of that cure, you know the effect is going to happen, you know it will help people's lives. For sure, you would be unashamed in bringing out the word that you have the cure for that virus. Well, church, we're talking about something here that's even more amazing than the cure for the coronavirus or any disease rather. Because there's an even greater or more severe epidemic in the world. That is the problem of sin. All 7 billion people have committed sin. As the Bible says, for everyone has fallen short of the glory of God. Everyone is guilty of committing sin. And we are all in need of a Savior. No matter how good you may think you are, compared to some robber, serial killer, or murderer, the Bible says, for the wages of sin, any sin, walang level 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 sa sin. Any sin is death. But the good news is the free gift of salvation that comes from Jesus Christ. And guess what? If you're a Christian, you're a believer, you have that with you. You've heard it. You've been entrusted with it. You have this amazing cure, kumaga. And the question is, will you preach that to other people? Will you bring out that gospel to other people? Because think about it this way. Someone was willing to go all the way to preach the gospel to you as well. That person went the extra mile to risk ridicule or being mocked, being rejected, despite their many sin zones sa texts, sa messages. Despite the times, mingon kang, ah bro, di ko pwede, busy ko, pero ginadaganan na din mo siya. But that person made the extra effort to disciple you, to preach the gospel, to meet you para magdunggan yung gospel. And you're here right now, enjoying all the blessings that comes from God. You're here right now, recipient of the gospel. Guess what? Would it be nice that you yourself would do that to other people as well? Would it be nice that it's not just you and receive, but you yourself would be an ambassador of Christ? That He would use you mightily to transform lives in your workplace or campuses when you preach the gospel. Oftentimes, we are ashamed to preach the gospel when we're focused on our own limitations, our own hindrances. But when we look outward and see the need that people need to hear the gospel, and when we realize that we shouldn't be ashamed of the gospel because di man ako maka-convince ni Lord, ikaw mag-do something sa life ani niya. The pressure is not on me, Lord. I just have to be in faith, to open my mouth, and preach the gospel. Romans 1 verse 17. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. It is written, the righteous shall live by faith. In the gospel, as John Stott rightly puts it, the righteousness of God is God's righteous initiative, His actions, in putting sinners right with Himself. He reconciled sinners to Himself by bestowing on them a righteousness which is not their own, but His. Meaning, the third reason why we shouldn't be ashamed of the gospel, if ang first was, it was entrusted to us to be passed on to others as well, is the power of God for salvation. But the third one here is that it reveals the righteousness of God. It reveals how God made His people righteous by giving them a righteousness that was not theirs, but His. If you remember our Amazing Grace series, when we talk about the justifying grace of God, God justified us. declared us righteous, not because of our good deeds, but because Jesus gave His righteousness for us. Gi-credit sa atoa ang righteousness ni Jesus. Our sins were taken and given to Him, and He gave us our righteousness. There was this divine exchange. And so it just tells you, grabe ka righteous si God, that He's this awesome God who loves His people, who's willing to do this for His people. As I end here, I'm going to talk about one story in the Bible, and that is the conversion story of Paul. The Apostle Paul, he started as a persecutor to the church. He didn't believe in Jesus at first. He thought that his people were blasphemous. They were committing idolatry or something. And so he would round up churches, people, and have them imprisoned or executed. And one day, on his way to Damascus to once again try and capture people, he had an encounter with Jesus. He saw the risen Lord in a vision. And because of that, through that encounter, to cut the long story short, he was commissioned by Jesus to be an apostle. That is why, even though he was not part of the original 12, he became an apostle. And specifically, an apostle to the Gentiles, to the non-Jewish people. Young credentials ni Paul. That's how he became an apostle as well. And interestingly, in the story of Paul, he spent some time with the believers in Damascus because he was blinded for a certain time. Then he got healed. But in Acts 9, verse 19 to 20, he says here, for some days, he was with the disciples at Damascus. And immediately, after some days, could be 3 days, 5 days, or maybe just 2 days. But after those some days, immediately, he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue saying, He is the Son of God. Immediately. You see, an encounter with Jesus will leave us unashamed to preach the gospel. A genuine encounter with Jesus, just like Paul here, will make you unashamed of the gospel because you know for a fact what He did for you. It's like when you go on an amazing trip, when you have an amazing movie, you can't help but share it to others. Unashamed ka to share it to them. The same way, when you have this genuine encounter with Christ, you will be unashamed to preach the gospel. And so my encouragement for all of us here today, church, as we wrap up and end, is to preach the gospel unashamedly. To whoever you want to preach it, whether it receives it or not, or believes it or not, just be in faith. And your role is to open your mouth and preach the gospel. And again, this is for everyone. It's not just for the staff, the volunteers, the Victory Group leaders. No, it's for everyone. God has commissioned us to make disciples, and it starts with the preaching of the gospel.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.